Hello and welcome to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Thanks so much for joining us. Cities across the country all try, and many struggle, to try to deal with the homeless population, try to help them, try to get them off the streets. Fort Lauderdale knows a thing or two about this. The city has made national news for its clashes with people like Arnold Abbott, the homeless advocate who continued to feed the homeless even when the city kept asking him to move his operations. Then earlier this year, bulldozer showed up to Stranahan Park, and they removed the belongings of dozens of people who were living in an encampment. Once again, Fort Lauderdale is trying to tackle this issue, but they're trying something else now. More than six dozen people living in an encampment in the middle of downtown are now moved out. But this time the city is providing housing, helping with job searches, as well as offering mental health and substance abuse opportunities. Well, just last night, there was a contentious city commission meeting over a proposed housing unit in Fort Lauderdale that would hold hundreds of micro-unit apartments that could help some of these folks. They are intended for low-income residents, and the development is sponsored by the AIDS Healthcare Foundation. We're joined now by Vice Mayor Ben Sorensen to talk about these issues. Vice Mayor Sorensen, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lewis. Honored to be here.
Let's start with this. I mean, we talked to you earlier this year. You were actually working at the encampment. You set up a small table out there, and you shared some of the stories of the people that were living there. Just briefly remind us of what that experience was like for you.
Sure. So the homeless and the plight of the homeless is something that's been a long time concern of mine and something I've worked on in the community for years. And I started off focusing on veterans. I'm a Navy veteran myself. And so formed a foundation through the organization, through the United Way of Broward County here to help veterans. And how that worked was just a collaborative effort and of various stakeholders, government, nonprofit, business, all working together. So when I was elected a city commissioner here in Fort Lauderdale in March of this year, the broader homeless population was the next step that I saw in addressing our homeless issue, the non-veteran population. And not knowing exactly what would be the best solution set for them, I moved my office from City Hall down to this encampment where, as you described, there were about 70 tents and folks living there. It's an incredible opportunity, one, for me to be able to understand what these folks are facing, what their challenges, what their concerns are. Secondly, bring awareness to this from everyone that would meet with me. So whether it was someone talking about the potholes in their street or someone talking about police in the city, everyone got a chance to see what was happening. And then the final piece that really helped me is forming really great friendships with the folks that were living in this encampment to understand. And I would ask them, what's going to help you get on your feet? What services would you be interested in receiving, and how can we help you? And that helped me understand the solution set that we would then need to implement.
All right. Now, so you talked to all of these folks who were in this encampment, and real quickly, I mean, because we're talking about over 70 people at least, what's happened to that encampment? All of those folks now are gone, right?
Correct. So this led to a incredible united effort led by our United Way of Broward County, along with the Greater Fort Lauderdale Alliance and business leaders like Otto and the City of Fort Lauderdale and Broward County and law enforcement, all collectively working together to raise money. So one, we through city contribution, county contribution, AutoNation, other businesses, we raised about $4.4 million to provide for housing for all of these individuals and wraparound case management for these individuals. And so these folks are currently housed and on the path to housing, as well as the job support, mental health treatment, all those things in addition.
Real quickly, what can you tell us about this housing? Where have we put them up?
So it's been in various spots around the county, and one of the real positive initiatives under this umbrella is something called a landlord program, a housing first program within this umbrella. And that what that was us as community members reaching out to landlords, property owners around the county and saying, hey, Mrs. Landlord, would you be willing to provide one apartment for a homeless person? We'll provide case management for that person. We'll provide rental. We'll pay rent for this individual. And we'll provide a risk pool, which is to say, if any damages beyond the security deposit happen, we will cover those costs. And so we have landlords around the county where these folks are now living.
And is this, I mean, is this temporary housing? Is this more permanent? How does that work out?
We view this as permanent housing. They're signing year-long leases, and with continued efforts to raise, you know, the resources and funding, we view this as a long-term solution. And we view a lot of these folks that have not had jobs now being able to get jobs. And just a quick anecdote was several of my friends down in the encampment were wanting jobs, were able to work 5 to 10 hours, but they could only work when someone would watch their possessions at the encampment, right? I mean, so now this has the opportunity to really increase employment.
So coming back, though, to the housing, so is it that the city, the county, I mean, the money that you've raised basically for this, is it to put them in for that year and then help them get a job so they can then begin to, you know, build their own lives?
Correct.
How long is the city willing to pay for them is what I'm saying.
So the city committed, so we committed about $1.2 million. The county committed about $1.2 million, then businesses in addition and beyond that. And so as a city, we committed to 1 year, but we're very interested as long as this is working, as long as we're seeing the case management work and folks, you know, put forth the effort, we're very interested in continuing our support.
And then the other part of this is that you're offering mental health services, substance abuse services. Again, none of this is mandatory, or, I mean, how are you getting people to get the help they need? Because as you know, sometimes that's a struggle.
Yep. So the folks that we have put in housing are all folks who want to be in housing and also are interested in the supportive services. And that was, you know, 90, 95% of the folks very much interested in all of the above. So these are folks that are wanting to do this. And we have professional caseworkers that are managed by the United Way of Broward County and other organizations that do this day in and day out and have been doing this for years and years. And those are the professionals that are working with these folks.
You know, as I mentioned at the beginning, I mean, the city has struggled at times in trying to tackle the issue of homelessness and how to help this part of your population. And it failed miserably. I mean, it made national news. What have you learned from those experiences? What has the city learned from those experiences? And where else are you looking, you know, to see who's doing it right? Are there cities that you could look to and say, we have to take that idea?
Yep. So, you know, when I was just a non-elected official, a citizen, just watching what the city of Fort Lauderdale's approach to homelessness with the kind of clearing out the camp and this enforcement and some of the kind of detention that happened and taking in possessions, you know, in my mind, that was not ideal. And there's a better way to do it. I think to address and really help those who are homeless, you really got to dig into the deeper systemic issues that they're facing. And it starts with housing as the first solution set. So this commission, and we've only been in office now about 9 months, has really taken a completely different approach. And that's one of the reasons why I think this is working. And then secondly, the mayor of Fort Lauderdale, Mayor Dean Trantelis, has been a big champion of this effort. And he and other leaders, United Way and others, have gone to other cities to say, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing well? And so one of the cities that I went to with many others was we went down to Miami-Dade, just our neighbor to the south. And Ron Book helps lead an incredible program down there addressing the homeless. And one, they have some recurring revenue through a food and beverage tax, but they're doing amazing things. And so we took a lot of the best practices that they have and are using it here. Many other of our leaders went out to Orlando and other cities to see best practices.
We're talking with Fort Lauderdale Vice Mayor Ben Sorensen. We're talking about the homeless encampment in downtown Fort Lauderdale. It's now closed, and what the city is doing to help dozens of people who used to live there find housing and get the help that they need. I wanted to talk to you about the proposed housing development by the AIDS Foundation, and this has sparked some controversy. The 15-story tower would house hundreds of affordable housing units, 600 of which would only be 250 square feet. Now, the expected cost would be less than half of Broward County's median income. Is this housing development an intentional part of the county's plan to address the homeless issue?
No, it's not. It's not part of our holistic plan. And, you know, we do need more affordable housing in Fort Lauderdale. We need more affordable housing in Broward County. We need more workforce housing. And when you look at Broward County, there's a significant discrepancy between when you look at the difference between the cost of living and you look at the AMI, average median median income, when you look at that percentage delta, it's greater than any other location in the United States because so many of our wages here are service side wages, so it's not as high in other communities. So we have to address this. You know, AIDS Healthcare Foundation has put forward this idea, and that's been, you know, very, very much a big topic of discussion.
What did you hear from you? There were quite a few people who showed up last night at the meeting, and they weren't happy about this. What did you hear from them? What are their concerns?
Yeah, so there's very valid concerns, and the concerns range from has AIDS Healthcare Foundation done projects like this in other parts of the country, and to what success? And you know, the answer we heard last night was no, that they haven't. That this would be, you know, the first time trying this. There's also concern around the size of the units. I mean, these are very small units. There's concern around what are the services that are going to be offered there or around in the vicinity. And so those are some of the real concerns.
And this, I mean, comes back to this bigger picture, this bigger question again, and not just, you know, whether it's this project or, you know, again, coming back to the issue of homelessness, dealing with the vulnerable part of our community is how do you find the right places to help, get them the help they need, to help them find homes and housing, but then also to deal with, because this is also one of the issues you saw with the encampment, is that, well, there are a lot of people who don't want them around.
Yep. Yeah. So what we've been doing as a city, part of our plan has been identifying city property that can be used for affordable housing, workforce housing. And so the AIDS Healthcare Foundation is private land. It's not, doesn't fall under our umbrella from city owned land. So we've looked at, and I've been really a big proponent of, is let's identify unused land that we can then partner with private affordable housing developer and build, you know, small number of units in these places and have that spread throughout the city. And so that's something we're doing right now. We're looking at kind of in the southern part of the city, looking at a 100-unit affordable housing development there. And so that's part of what I see as the long-term fix.
And the city and county have got to agree on this.
And that's been one of the real exciting parts of this, Lewis, is that the engagement between the city and the county, I think, is better than it ever has been. And we've got both partners at the table. And I think initially we kind of did a little bit of the blame game and whose fault is it. And then in one of the meetings, I said, you know, fair to blame each other. And regardless of that, we're now where we are now. So can we work together? Are we willing to work together on this? And what I got back was a unanimous yes.
What do you think is the role of government in trying to help the most vulnerable in our community?
I think government plays a important role in this. And government cannot do this by itself. The reason this successful in Fort Lauderdale and has been is because government partnered with private businesses and with nonprofit sector and with the faith community, and let's work together. I think the government it plays an important role in identifying the concern and then starting to lead the effort, but quickly needs to bring on board the key stakeholders.
What more does Fort Lauderdale have to do? I mean, you've closed down the encampment, but you're getting these folks into housing, trying to get them the help they need. But there's still more homeless that we have to try to help. What more does the city need to do? What's the next step?
Yep, this is a long-term solution that we're going to need. We're not going to be able to solve this in the couple months. We've had fantastic successes already. We're going to continue to need this strong partnership across this triad. We're going to continue to need to identify revenue sources, whether that's grant funding, whether that's federal funding, whether that's private businesses stepping forward. And we're going to continue to need partners that are going to be willing to help provide the caseworkers, the job training, and the employment opportunities.
Do you think that homelessness can be solved?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to leave it at that then. That's all.
I think, Lewis, if you take the model that we're applying, it can be solved. And it needs to be solved because the financial drain on our resources as a city, as a state, as a nation are significant around the homeless. And if we can get them the help and the job training and support they need, not only does the resource drag lessen and tend to end, but then we start having really positive contributing members of society.
He's Fort Lauderdale Vice Mayor Ben Sorensen, again talking about the homeless encampment that was downtown in the center of downtown Fort Lauderdale, now closed. The city, again, has found the funds to help these folks find housing and also the help they need with mental health issues, substance abuse issues, trying to find jobs and so forth. A story definitely we're going to keep our eye on and we'll follow up. Vice Mayor Sorensen, such a pleasure. Thanks again. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, still to come. By the way, don't forget, I do have to mention this. Coming up at the end of the show, we're going to make an announcement about this month's Sundial Book Club, so stick around for that. But still to come on the program, celebrating Hanukkah in a time of rising anti-Semitism. That's next on Sundial.